Nemoto presents filmmaking giants. Robert Bresson, the ascetic of cinema. Narrated with Microsoft Azure using the Ava voice. Running time, approximately 15 minutes. Robert Bresson. Hello, and welcome back to filmmaking giants who changed how we see the world. If Bergman taught us to enlarge the face until it reveals a soul, Robert Bresson taught us to remove everything that is not the soul's work. He wrote a tiny book of aphorisms, notes on the cinematograph, and made films that behave like the book, spare sentences that refuse to flatter, sudden parables with the fat cut off, hands and locks and footsteps arranged until revelation happens not as spectacle, but as inevitability. He replaced actors with models, speech with cadence, psychology with the visible record of a will struggling to act. To watch a Bresson film is to discover that subtraction can create pressure and that off-screen space can be more eloquent than any performance. He was born in 1901 in Bromont-la-Motte, France. Painting trained his eye to distrust decoration. A stint as a prisoner of war taught him to respect routines that keep a mind intact. The theater taught him what he did not want, interpretation masquerading as truth. His early short, Les Angies du Pecci, still carries drama's robe, but the habit was already to pare down. By Diary of a Country Priest, he had his method. A young curate arrives in a petty parish. The camera records the diary he writes. The diary reads like minutes from a meeting with God. His stomach revolts more often than his parish does. He dies not quite reconciled, but honest. The film is a training in attention. You learn how to watch a hand turn a page and understand appetite. You learn how to hear a voice that is not lamentation but report. Bresson refuses to reward you with acting. He rewards you with accuracy. His system sounds cruel when summarized. Choose non-actors. Rehearse them until inflection is drained. Take many takes until fatigue strips away habit. Record sound as primary matter, not as glue. Use music seldom. Keep the camera where intention is visible, but emotion is not demanded. The cruelty is toward vanity, not toward people. The result is not indifference, but the opposite. A viewer is forced to supply the feeling, to take responsibility for what the images do inside. He believed that the cinema of photography, what he called cinema, is not theater plus camera. It is a new art, built from image and sound arranged in time, without actors. The models do not interpret, they exist. Their existence in a plan yields grace or misery, depending on the arrangement of acts. No psychology, he wrote. Only the mysterious appearances and reactions of beings. The mystery is not a pose. It arises from the fact that people cannot perfectly know themselves. To pretend otherwise is the theater's habit and Bresson's target. Uncondemn en mort SS de Chap, a man escaped, takes that ethic and welds it to suspense as pure as a heartbeat. A prisoner, Fontaine, narrates his plan to flee a Nazi jail. The camera watches hands, wire, spoon, rope, door, corridor, wrist. The soundtrack is the second protagonist. Keys, footsteps, distant trains, the thud of a pass note, a guard's cough. The prison is mostly off camera. The world is mostly behind a wall. The miracle is that when a door finally opens into night, the emotion that arrives in your chest has been earned entirely by exactness. There is music, sparingly, and it feels like breath withheld and released, which tells you what Bresson thought music should be, a collaborator with silence, never its enemy. Two types of film, he wrote, those that use the resources of the theater and those that use the resources of cinema. This is the latter in its purest state. He proves that a cut to a hand can carry more dignity than a shout, that a man tying knots can bear more suspense than a man running across rooftops. Pickpocket takes a sin and reduces it to choreography so patient that morality appears as craft. Hands move in pockets, out of pockets, over buttonholes, across a purse's clasp, wrists pivot, shoulders shift. The camera frames these moves as sentences. The editing becomes a pro style. The model, Martin LaSalle, speaks as if language had to pass through cloth to reach us. Jean, the woman who waits for him to spend his intelligence on more than theft, speaks like a door left unlocked. Bresson is not fascinated with crime. He is fascinated with grace, with the way a crime's repetition leads to a cliff, and with the way love, on the other side of iron bars, can be the first sentence of salvation. The final line, "Oh, Jean, to reach you," isn't an epiphany. It's a ledger finally balanced, a mind admitting that its freedom lies outside itself. Everything before that moment has taught you to mistrust grand confession. When it arrives, against the jail's metal, you feel it as weight, not as wallpaper. O. Hazard Balthazar assigns the role of witness to a donkey and discovers that a creature who cannot lie can carry a town's history. The animal passes from owner to owner, a child who loves badly, a drunk who beats, a gang that exploits, a thief who charms himself more than anyone else, a farmer who carries his grudges like tools, a miller whose piety is cruelty. We learn, by changes in harness and landscape and the quality of the donkey's eye, how the world distributes its sins. The film refuses sentimentality without refusing pity. It places a Schubert fragment like a candle where a night will be particularly long and leaves most of the rest to wind and hoof and the sound of sacks lifted. The ending in a field of sheep is not a parable about heaven. It is a report. An innocent suffered. The world went on. The shock lies in how the film teaches you to expect no shock, only truth. Balthazar's bray is the most honest sound in a cinema that has been stuffed with music to replace thought. Machette returns to adolescence, not to celebrate it, but to admit its poverty. A girl in a rural village is harassed and humiliated and offered, from time to time, a poor imitation of kindness. Bresson keeps the camera as close to her labor as he does to a thief's hand or a priest's pen. He lets swamp water sound like accusation. He shows a carnival bumper car sequence that becomes a theory of desire, forms of hunger colliding with their ignorant twins until sparks fly, and then the lights go out because somebody turned a switch. He finds, late, in a hillside roll, an image of grace that some viewers cannot forgive him for finding there. He is not prescribing. He is recording the exact angle at which a life gives up, then asking us in the dark of our seats whether we help tilt it. When Bresson turns to the past, as in Lancelot du Lac, he strips Arthurian legend of heraldry and reveals gears and pulleys, the body's weight inside armor, the ignobility of noble vows when they meet boredom, the rhythm of hooves and flags as a pattern that repeats until death claims the pattern more than the man. He refuses to make legend elevate men who have not elevated themselves. When he turns to present violence and money enlargement, an altered bill passes through hands like a virus. The film follows the consequences until the ledger ends in blood with the quiet that Bresson reserves for the gravest things. The final confession is not catharsis. It is a sentence spoken because the mouth can speak and not because the world demands a story that makes it easier to go to bed. He is hard on a culture that mistakes an explanation for a change. Sound is the skeleton. He writes that sound must be invented as much as image. He records footsteps as if they were signatures. He lets a door click into being. He allows a bucket, a chain, a whispered instruction, a train to become actors. He dislikes music because it often duplicates feeling. When he uses it, it is a guest asked to bless a table, not the man who talks too long. Silence becomes a third collaborator, color a fourth in the late films. He favors grays and earth. When he uses red, it is rust. When he uses green, it is dull, as if to warn us against the drug of prettiness. Editing is stitching, not montage. Ellipses are a moral device. Show the before, show the after, honor the fact that the most important things often happen where we cannot see, and that the camera is not a god. Actors are not asked to act, they are asked to do. He instructs a model to open a door and leave. He shoots until the leaving is neither theatrical nor sloppy. He cuts away everything else. The result is performances that critics lazily call flat And that audiences who have been trained by abundance sometimes find alien. Watch again. What you thought flat is loyal. It refuses to decorate with false intentions, so that when intention truly appears, when a model pauses before an action or speeds through a line to avoid hearing it, your eye is free to notice it without guesswork. Bresson's people do not convince you. They exist near you. You take responsibility for whether you believe them. He wrote his notes like commandments and invented a tradition that directors would learn to borrow from without imitating. Paul Schrader called it the transcendental style. It is perhaps more modest to call it the accounting style. Show the costs, do not comment on them. Count again the next day. A generation of filmmakers, OZU's disciples, Dreyer's admirers, the Dardenne brothers, Henke, even Scorsese in a handful of moments that he admits he stole, have learned that taking away can free attention. The trick is to remove with judgment rather than with meanness. Bresson was severe, but not stingy. He spent lavishly on what he loved. The exactness of a gesture, the honesty of a sound, the cut that keeps dignity intact. What does a Bresson method look like outside a cinema? In an office, it looks like stripping a meeting of presentation and leaving only decision. In a hospital, it looks like refusing to pretend that the words said at the bed are more important than the hands that turn a patient. In a school, it looks like evaluating not how well a child performs comprehension, but whether the comprehension has begun. In a budget, it looks like removing line items that duplicate and trusting the remaining to speak clearly. If you lead people, you can borrow his discipline. Remove redundancy. Refuse spectacles temptation. Design processes that leave no room for lies to hide. Assume that if you do not ask hands to do something exact, mouths will fill the day with sound. He teaches you how to use off-screen space as a tool. In any policy, consider the person not in the room. Design for them. Let their footsteps be audible in your plan. His films are accused of coldness by those who mistake the absence of flattery for the absence of love. Love lives in his choices. The patience to watch a man dig a sliver of wood from a cell door, the fairness to show a thief's intelligence without envy, the refusal to shout when a donkey suffers, the grace to let a confession be short. He is unsentimental about institutions. He is merciful toward people. He does not ask us to admire his models. He asks us to consider whether we have done our work. Make visible what, without you, might perhaps never have been seen, he wrote. That is not an artist's vanity. It is a human obligation. The hex of the present is that everything must be obvious and immediate. Bresson breaks the hex. He restores slowness as a moral instrument. He rejects applause cues. He invites the audience to enter the scene like a craftsman entering a shop. Look first. Decide what knife. Make the cut you can make today. If that sounds austere, remember that Bresson's endings are often tender. A gate opening into night. A face that discovers it has been loved. A donkey lying down among sheep who do not mock it. A boy falling asleep after a long day of being watched by people who did not know they were responsible. He was a Catholic whose films do not preach and who speaks of grace without letting it become a trick. Grace is when a door opens that you did not know you were allowed to touch. He worked stubbornly against commerce and still made a ledger that continues to pay interest. He directed for half a century and made fewer than 15 features. He refused to hurry because hurrying was exactly the sort of lying he was trying to unlearn. He asked his audience to meet him more than halfway because he believed adults could be trusted. If, after one or two films, you do not yet feel you have entered his country, you are not wrong. The money there is different. The bread takes longer to chew. The language is shy.
Stay.
Eventually, you will notice that you have been asked to keep your promises with your eyes. What you can carry into your day is small and radical. Choose one task and do it with Bressonian exactness. Answer the letter without rhetoric. Design the form so that it cannot be filled dishonestly. Cut the paragraph that repeats a thought. Fix the hinge so the door closes with a single sound. In a world of noise, make one vivid noise that helps. In a city of images that do not trust you, present one image that does. in a conversation drifting toward performance, bring it back to what hands will do. You will feel, for a moment, the odd sensation Bresson's films produce when they finally turn the key, the click that says nothing more need be said and everything more now can be done. Thank you for listening to this episode of Filmmaking Giants Who Changed How We See the World.